Okay, my name is Tony Wegwijs
from Heineken, and in this session I will share with you our experiences about our global knowledge management solution. By the way, I was joking about the beer. Who doesn't know Heineken? Can we raise hands, please? Good, great. So that saves me a few slides. Okay, this session, what we will do is I will give a short introduction to the knowledge management program in Heineken, why we are doing it, what thinking is behind it, and of course then we move slowly into how we have built a global knowledge management solution based on those ideas. And of course I will demonstrate the actual application. We will do it live, so that's always exciting, see how the connections are working with Amsterdam from here. And well, hope you will enjoy it and learn a lot. As you can see, the fact that nobody raises hands here, not knowing Heineken, has to do, of course, with the fact that we are the number one global brand worldwide, which doesn't mean that we are the biggest brewery in the world, which happens to be an American brewery, as you know, which is Anheuser-Busch. But we are exporting the most beer around the world. So it's not that strange yet that you were aware about the name of Heineken. And this is a little bit, let's say, the start of where our challenge in knowledge management starts, because we are around the world. We are a global player. We are in 165 breweries in over 70 countries, 85,000 employees, and we have a total volume of 220 million hectoliters. So that's quite a lot. And as you can see here, we have In the yellow areas, we are exporting beer. In the dark green, we are producing the beer there, and some joint ventures. So we are all over the place, and that is exactly what is the challenge, because all those people need to be connected, need to collaborate, and there's a lot of knowledge potential there that we like to leverage throughout Heineken. So if we go all the way up in our organization to the business and to the CEO and the CTO of our company, they set the challenge for this company, which is not particularly a knowledge management challenge, but more a business challenge in terms of for the collaboration within Heineken, stating that we need our people to think globally, work collaboratively together, and inspire and develop people around the globe. And the words that are bold here are actually the keywords that we need to take out of that. So if this is just for the business, the challenge, how do we translate that into knowledge management objectives? And from there, how do we take those knowledge management objectives to the actual solution? So if we talk about knowledge management in Heineken, this is our definition that we use. So you can read it for yourself. And again, the bold words are the ones that are key in here. It's about creating an environment, not only technically, but also in the organization, that enables and stimulates our people to connect, create, share, but also apply and reapply knowledge. Always keeping in mind that it has to add value to the business. All right, so having that statement as a starting point, how do we translate that into an actual solution that is supporting this objective? So, our knowledge management performance objectives are multiple. There are a number of them. For instance, we need to increase our knowledge asset utilization, get the best out of the people all over the globe. We need to increase our problem-solving capacity. So if you're able to solve a problem in 3 days while somebody else is still struggling and taking more time, you have to share those solutions. Increase organizational learning, but also support the governance and continuous improvement processes within Heineken. We'd like to reduce, for instance, our time to the content and time to find expertise so that you don't unnecessarily take too long. And this all has to be done on a local, a regional, but also on a global scale across the geographical and functional boundaries within the company. So if this is setting the scene for knowledge management, it all comes together in this statement made by our CEO and by our board, that we have to think and act as one Heineken. And how do you make that work? That was the, let's say, the scene that I would like to set for the next part of the session. So, having said that, how do we, like I say, take those objectives and turn them into an actual solution? That was our challenge. So knowing those one Heineken objectives and knowing the SharePoint 2010 possibilities, we put them in the center and make sure that they are covered by the functionalities that we found there. And we are still on SharePoint 2010, yes, but this year, in the coming year, we are moving gradually into the new versions of SharePoint in the cloud and using Office 365. So, looking at the project that took those objectives and actually delivered the solution, we took the following steps. First, we created a global community on knowledge management, which was across the functions. So finance, HR, supply chain, all functions were in there, making a proposal to the board. The board who had already in 2010 decided to go for SharePoint, but what we were proposing here is not to let that just happen, but to jointly come up with requirements to come with one single knowledge portal for Heineken, where our key knowledge is stored. So we made that proposal, we got the executive board sponsorship for that without being able to show the solution, just our ideas. And we got a green light for that, and we moved on. And then we worked out the functional requirements across the function. So any function brings in their particular ideas, their particular point of view and expectations of the system. Of course, that led to a functional design and a technical design for the actual application you will be seeing this afternoon. So this is the project so far, but it's still not delivered, and we started to build and use the SharePoint functionalities, leading, of course, to a situation where we had it ready and delivered to the business, testing it, but at the same time, and we found a very important point, set up the governance around it, not only in the technical sense, so how do you maintain and develop your solution in the future, but also on the content part. So who's going to take responsibility for the content that we are going to publish there? In the autumn of 2012, we rolled out this application, and we did that in about 3 weeks' time, replacing another application we had at that moment also available worldwide. And we wanted to do that in a short period of time, not to maintain two systems at the same time. So in 3 weeks' time, in those 70 countries, we rolled it out and have the people connected to the application. Also working out a change management program for that, because for all those users and end users, this was implying a lot of change. So it's a new way of working for them using SharePoint 2010. So we needed to work out and communicate a plan of change. And by now we are, 1.5 year down the road, we are in the stage of continuous improvement, still involving this community of practice that is working together in improving the application continuously. And for the next steps that are coming towards it, they will be involved as well. But also still maintaining that executive sponsorship. Very important to have that continued as well, because we would like to involve the people out of the opcos, the operational companies, as much as possible. And for that, we need that sponsorship. So this was the project as a whole, from a technical point of view, but also working on the organizational part. All right. Let's take a look at the solution, the blueprint that we have, which was based on our knowledge management dimensions. And those dimensions first, I'll show them. There are two dimensions here. There's a top-down and a bottom-up dimension, and there's this dimension across the globe and across the functional boundaries. Bottom-up, we like to get out of our operational companies the good practices, the ideas that are around, in order that we can share them. If you think back to the objectives, the knowledge management objectives that I just shared with you, you can imagine that we would like to get those ideas, for instance, to increase our problem-solving capacity or to find the expert faster. So bottom-up is very important for us, but also top-down, which is then related to the governance within the business, because you can imagine that if you have a product like beer and you would like to produce that in a consistent way on worldwide, our standards and our procedures, which is actually our formalized knowledge, is very important. A recipe of your product needs to be all over the place available and followed by all of the breweries and the head brewers in our company. So there's a top-down approach and a bottom-up approach that come together in our knowledge management solution. What you see here are the layers of the content that you will find in this solution. At the bottom, and I will put some, if this will work. Here it comes. What you see here is that these layers are actually divided into parts. The bottom part is where the day-to-day collaboration takes place. That's where we have built department sites, project sites, team sites, etc. We'll get back to that later. The top part of this triangle is actually the blueprint of our knowledge management solution, which we are talking about this afternoon, which has the layers of knowledge items and good practices in there, functional standards and procedures, and at the highest level, rules. A little bit later, you will see what they are about. And if this is the setup, this is the application I will be showing you today, which we have called One to Share, coming from this one Heineken concept. And of course, if you speak it out like that, I want to share, whether it's top-down or bottom-up, I want to share. So this logo you see coming back everywhere, and this is the title of our global knowledge management solution. At the end of the session, I will get back to our department sites, which are somewhere, of course, related and connected to this global solution, because that's where the majority of the day-to-day work is taking place. And if there are any good practices or knowledge items that are coming out of projects or communities that you would like to share on a global scale, you should be able to upload them and make sure that they become available for everybody, and that our intention was to have that via this single source of entrance via this portal. So we will later get back to those arrows, which are actually translated in the part of functionality. Okay, how has the solution been set up? Now you know a little bit about our knowledge management approach. Let's see what we have been building. First of all, every functional discipline, supply chain, finance, HR, will have their own homepage where they can present their knowledge management initiatives, their results, etc. But also publish their content there. So for any of the functional disciplines, there's a particular part that you can navigate to, but it's not like we did it in the past where there were silos. No, the search, for instance, runs right through any of those sites. So if I'm looking for, project management, I will find project management in the financial part, but also in supply chain. And this is a difference from what we had ever before, because only in this way you can learn from each other. And of course there are differences, whether in a financial project or a supply chain project, but there's also a lot of commonalities, and we have to focus on the commonalities in order to learn from each other. So search runs right through those different sites and site collections. Next to that, the application is surrounded by what we call our global who's who, which is the profiling, my profile. Everybody has a profile which has the standard out-of-the-box functionality, but we added a few things to it, which I will demonstrate in a minute, in order to connect your personal profile in a nice way to our taxonomy, so that you can make yourself known as an expert on a part of the taxonomy. Of course, it works together with Link. The day-to-day collaboration, like I already said, is taking place in team sites and department sites. And the whole process comes together and is being managed via workflows. So the approval, the challenging of the content takes place via workflows, which we have been building on Nintex. So this is roughly the environment that we're talking about and how things come together. We also added a number of specific functionalities, so because what I've been showing you now is relatively out of the box. So you will see them live. So this triangle concept has been translated to any of the functions. So the rule standards procedure, we have a common taxonomy for all those functions, and within that taxonomy there's room for the specific part. But this mainframe is the same for everybody. We have so-called public and privileged content publication. You can imagine we don't want everybody to walk out of this room or out of the company with the Heineken recipe. So certain people can see certain content, and the majority is public, but certain content is protected. We have wiki training pages by now. We have custom feedback web parts, meaning that we want to hear the opinion of any end user on the content. I will demonstrate how that looks like. We also would like to be able to communicate to our experts in the world of Heineken. So if we ask people to make themselves known as being an expert on logistics or production or whatever, we do that because we like to involve them, for instance, in the maintenance of the content that we've been publishing in communities there. But you also can turn it around, say, all right, now that we know them, there's a particular part that we would like to communicate them. We know them, and we can do a targeted communication to them. We have a one-on-one link between the taxonomy and the expertise. I will demonstrate that in a second. You can set alerts on specific knowledge domains and document types or a combination of the two. We have user and content reporting in place, but also on the process. We find it important, for instance, if somebody shares a document and is enthusiastically saying, I have a good practice here, and he uploads it to the system, but then it takes a half a year to get it published for him, that's not very motivating. So we can process the lead time of content in there. We have news functionality with news wrap-up, I will show you. Content evaluation involving global expertise, meaning that we, in the past, we had a similar system like this, but only central expertise reviewing the content. Now we are involving experts from all over the world. Content feedback, I already said that we have a specific web part for that embedded, but we also take that feedback into the review workflow because we take those comments and feedback very seriously. So if any content is coming under review automatically or manually, you also always get a report on what feedback people have been giving so that you can take that into account for the next versions. And we have something which we call the hit rate matrix. Okay, you don't know what it is, but I will show a few of these now before we go to the live demo. Like I said before, we made a one-on-one link between the taxonomy and between the profile of people. So this is my part of my profile. And I can make myself known to the world of Heineken as being an expert on any of the subjects in the taxonomy. The nice thing about that is that if any content is being published there, I will be involved in reviewing that content. And by the more people make themselves known, the less work it is to do it altogether, and the better we are utilizing the potential in our company. Because that's the idea behind it. So don't do it only with central expertise, no. Ask the people to make themselves known and involve them in the process. And I always get the question, so then who defines what is an expert or an expertise? And the only answer that we have to that, we have not defined it. Why? Because we can have an endless discussion whether you should have done 3 university studies or 10-year experience. So who defines what is an expert? So we ask the people to define it for themselves. If you make yourself known, be an expert on raw material handling, in our case, okay, you will be involved.
So if you don't happen not to be the best in that, you will not be able to contribute very much, and you will know, and people will tell you. So, yeah, that's how it works.
So if you look, for instance, to this small part of our taxonomy, you can imagine that brewing is part of that. How does it work? So who do we make responsible for certain parts of the content that we have in there?
For instance, brewing, we appointed a global community leader for brewing. That's a single guy who is responsible for all content. So he's an acknowledged expert within the company.
But he should never do that by himself, reviewing the content that we have in this portal. So he is involving the expertise from the world. Of course, he knows he has his own network of people that he knows very well, but now, from our application, he gets a proposal of people that made themselves known, being an expert on brewing or a certain part within brewing, and then he can involve those people and put them in expert groups and involve them in the review of the content. This can be on the scope of that expert group that you see over here, can be this entire field, but also parts of that field. So, for instance, it's a small expert group on wort production or yeast management. So the idea is that you, as a responsible community leader, are involving as many people as possible into this community and do it together. And as I said before, we have still our solution on SharePoint 2010. But here you, for instance, can make a link already with Yammer, so that these type of discussions nicely could take place in that environment. Now they are taking place in our current system and in the workflows that we have, but for sure, in the next phase, we will move in that direction. Then I mentioned something which is called the hit rate matrix. If you're a community leader for a large part of content, how do you know if you're also responsible for keeping it up to date? How do you know where to start? So we used the following figures. There's the number of hits on pages, on content, or on document sets that we have used against the content rating of the end users. And if you put them in this matrix, they give you valuable information. For instance, if you have a high usage of the content, but those people that are viewing it are not really appreciating it very much on average, then you need to improve it. Because apparently there's a need for it, but what they are seeing, they're not happy with it. Secondly, if it's highly being used and highly appreciated, make sure that it stays there, that it's still available for all users. Or if there's a low usage and even a low content rating, you have to consider whether you still want to have this content in there, right? And of course, if it's a low usage, but those people that are looking at it really appreciate it, then you need to do something about it. You need to promote it. And when I show the portal a little bit later, I'll show you how, let's say, some possibilities how we are doing that. So any of the community leaders can get a report out of the system with this information telling you where to focus on, and also to avoid that you have an enormous amount of content in there that stays there forever. Because as you can hear in my story, we are very much focusing on having the highest quality of content in there and not just everything from Heineken. The majority of the content will be in the day-to-day collaboration sites, etc. This portal is providing you the best knowledge around and the practices that you would like to have. And therefore, short story, when we acquired another business some years ago, we went there and they proudly were showing their database, and there were hundreds and thousands of documents in there, and said, well, it looks really nice. So how did you get this many content in there? And they said, everybody can add, no problem. But they were completely lost where everything was and who was responsible for what. So the people were hardly using it because they couldn't find their way. And then they asked, okay, you're a big Heineken, how many documents do you have?
And then we said, all right, we have only 10,000 documents in there. And then they started laughing, only 10,000 documents, big Heineken. Yes, but those documents, you can be sure that they've been looked at, that they are reviewed, and that if you take a good practice there, that is really good stuff. So that is a different approach than just having everything in there and just see what happens. No, we like to have this as quality stuff in there. Okay, before the demo, for the techies around here. The whole application consists of 11 site collections as we speak. The whole body of the application is, at this point, 1 terabyte, consisting of 5 content databases. We managed to search, as I said, across the different functions, although they have different site collections. We search right through it, so different search scopes for different functional disciplines. But custom search page is making sure that that all comes together. And I will demonstrate how that looks like. We have in the navigation, you will see it, much focus on, let's say, the taxonomy. So you will recognize the term set over there. Extensive use of taxonomy search. Like I said, Nintex workflows. We are making use of an SQL server reporting services for the reporting that I was referring to. And in the first year, we had 200,000 hits. And I said there are 85,000 people at Heineken, but not all 85,000 yet are immediately active users. I mean, you can imagine we have a lot of production companies where people somewhere on the shop floor do not even have their own computer. So if you take the 85,000 and you take half of that as, let's say, potential active users, and taking into account that we have only one language in there, everything in English, so that also takes out certain people in countries where, on certain levels, English is not always the main language. 200,000 hits the first year, we have 7,000 individual different users at this point, and it's growing every day. So I'm happy with those figures for the first year. That's going well. On average, that is 100 active users per site. This is not a SharePoint site. We also talk about sites as being a brewery. And I realized that when I was making the slide. But on average, in every brewery, there are about 100 people actively using then our application. So at this point, 12,000 documents and document sets, which, like I said, is the key Heineken knowledge. And every week, we get 10 to 20 new good practices. So people actively are indeed sharing their experiences, their knowledge, in order to make it of value for the rest of the company. And like I said also before, the majority of the content is in our regular SharePoint sites, where they can do whatever they want, collaborate, innovate, whatever, until it's, let's say, ready to be shared on a global level. You put it in whenever you want. I will show you there's a big orange button. You only have to push that one from wherever you are in the application, and you can start uploading content. The only thing is, if you happen to upload a picture of your dog, which might be a nice picture, but not necessarily adding value, according to our definition, that's where we have those workflows in, that this is early taken out and not published. All right. So by now, I think you would like to see a little bit more live. Let me see if the application will come alive. Just 1 second. Here we go. I push a button. And there we are. So, hello Amsterdam, or Zoetebouw, I have to say, because we are now live. You always run a risk that this thing collapses while you're doing a presentation. So, as you can see here, there's at the bottom, it says emergency presentation. So, if it drops halfway, continuity guaranteed. All right. So, we're on the home page here of our knowledge management solution want to share.
I will browse around. You keep in mind the triangle that I've been presenting to you, rules, standards, procedure, that structure, the content structure you will see here in the navigation. And okay, let's just take a look on the front page first. So this is not our intranet, by the way. Eh? So everything is focused here on knowledge, knowledge management, knowledge projects, communities, etc. All right, so what you see here, first of all, there's a wrap-up of the news here. Every functional discipline, and we will move to navigate to those pages, has their own news functionality, but you can tick a box if you want to publish this on the homepage. If you find this that much interesting, then it moves up to the homepage as well. If there's something out of this hit rate matrix that you would like to promote and say, right, it's here, we have something called want to share speed links, which is over here. And there you can put documents that you would like to draw the attention to. And people can set alerts on the page and on those web parts, and then they are always informed. What we have, like I said before, we have our own training material, so we have a wiki page right here, user support and training site, where the end users, and let's say the key users that we are having now in Heineken, are creating those pages together. And I think that's already a first part of sharing knowledge. And those are, let's say, instructions like this. Very simple instructions, what you do step by step, but some people are creative and make, for instance, a movie on how to navigate and want to share. And this community of key users is now creating and maintaining those pages themselves, which is already a good result of sharing knowledge, I guess. So, training is in place. We are at the point of doing a survey right now on the end user experience. So asking people their feedback. We did one before last year, but now again, we will like to hear feedback on the application. So let's look around a little bit in the system and see what we find here. So keep this triangle in mind, and we start here on the right-hand side with the Heineken rules, which is the formal part, the formal knowledge of Heineken. So the pages indeed look a little bit formal. I will zoom out. So. Okay, on the highest level, this is what is mandatory for Heineken to follow. If you have a brewery, this is what needs to be in place. For instance, product quality and integrity, or environmental rules, or how to deal with global brands, etc. The thing is that if you go to any of those formal rules, still keep thinking of the triangle, you're now going one level down if you would, for instance, navigate on the right-hand side here to those standards and procedures that are related to the rules. So for people working on compliance in the breweries, this is the place to be, because they find the rules, they find the related standards and procedures, so if they are being audited, they always find their way. All right? Personally, I think this looks a little bit boring, but okay, this stuff is the formal stuff, so that has to look a little bit like that, I guess. Next to that, you see what we call the business conduct. So next to saying this is how you should work, we also state how you should act while you are working, which is more the behavioral part. So this is from our legal department, their site. So this is for them important knowledge. So there's a number of policies over here that are related to environment, to, for instance, safety or policy on fair competition, etc. So for legal, this is for them important knowledge to communicate with the people within Heineken. Okay, so much for the formal part. Now we go to the search. This is, when we started, it had to be Google-like search. Well, close enough, I guess. A page like this. And what you find here is the page to start and search across the functions or within one single function if you want to. For instance, it now is on the cross-functional part here. So if I would type in knowledge management, let's see what happens. As if I would not know. I practice this. So what you get is, of course, a
regular search results, which are document sets that were found across any of the functions. But on the right-hand side, you also get the people that are involved in knowledge management and have in their profiles mentioned that they are having expertise on knowledge management. And we only show three here, so I happen to be there somewhere. But of course, you can view more people. Now, what you see is a result of 3,800, which is not that strange because it has searched on not the word knowledge and management. So there's, of course, advanced search. Let's do a little bit different now. You will see the difference. And maybe this is all known to you, but let me still do it. You get, of course, 160 results. And by playing with the metadata of any of the documents and the document sets on the left-hand side, you can even fine-tune your result further. For instance, from knowledge management, I don't want it from all functions. Just give me everything related to governance, or give me just the procedures or the knowledge items. So you can fine-tune your search results very rapidly over here. Like I said, oops, that's new, sorry. I have to take the other one. You can search across all functions, but you also can limit yourself from the beginning, knowing, all right, I already know it's in supply chain, and you limit your search scope already here. And then you search only within one site collection already. If you want to not narrow down your search scope, but making it even broader, then you better go for a global search, which will search on all sites, so within want to share, but also the sites out there, so team sites, department sites, etc. So you're expanding your scope over here, or only within people. So these are a number of search options that we have nowadays, and that people are using extensively, I can say already. They're getting used to it much more because they were very much into the regular, you know, structure and drilling down to the content. This is the way we would like to promote the search, of course. But still, we have that other way of searching as well. I will show you in a minute. We have a news page, which is the wrap-up of the news of the different functions. So, as you can see, there's an article here on that, the fact that we are presenting here today. So, if you open the article, it shows... we are in Las Vegas. Did you see this down the road? We have even mentioned to have one to share on there. Okay. So this news page is just a wrap-up of the different functional news items that are around. So it searches for the different news items and brings it back to one page. But now we go to the more important part, which is the published content. So like I said before, any of the functions have a home page and have a news page for themselves. So if I would look to supply chain, which is a big function within Heineken, this is their home page at this moment. So there's a statement of our chief supply chain officer. We are having some links to our news pages over here, news articles from this month published. And we always put something here which we use to inspire people, which is another specific article, a movie, a commercial of Heineken, that triggers people to think about what they're doing and to challenge them or to inspire them. Again here, HiQ speed links, particularly for supply chain, so drawing attention to specific things that we would like to promote. And this is, for instance, the orange button that I was referring to your question, if anyone was allowed to upload content. Yes, they are. You just push the button and you can upload your content. A little bit later in the presentation, I will show you what that looked like. Now, if we would look in supply chain and you see on the left-hand side here, I have to zoom in a little bit for you maybe. You see here the document types that we have and you see for supply chain, our taxonomy. So you recognize our supply chain processes. If we would go to finance, you would see financial processes there, or HR processes if you would go to HR. So let's take a look, for instance, in brewing.
we are a brewery, so let's take a look at brewing.
By the way, this is a search, what is happening now. So the left navigation is based on the managed metadata, the taxonomy that you see over there, and it's showing actually a search result on brewing. And then you see the structure underneath brewing. So it's offering in now, here in the corner, you can see that, all document types, and that means that you get 290 results only for brewing.
Now, if that's, it's far too much for you, and if, for instance, you are only interested in the standards and procedures, you can untick these boxes over here. So we have now 290 results, and you say, okay,
and you get a different result. Just in a second. Here it goes,
and we are already down to 69. For instance, if you are working on compliance in brewing, and you would like to be updated always when something changes within brewing, then you would like to set an alert on this specific search result that you see right here. So what we have on the right-hand side here, set an alert on the current knowledge domain and document types.
So whenever there's a new standard published there or a new procedure, you always know.
Okay. Now let's take a look into one of those documents that are presented over here.
By the way, we've given every functional discipline its own icon. So if you find content and you see this small factory here and this, oops, you know it's supply chain. If you come to finance, it has a euro sign. Yeah, we are from Europe, right? So anyone has, any function has its own symbol. So this is a document set in SharePoint. And for instance, on this Brewhouse Process Equipment Standard, there are a number of documents published together on this document set. Why? Because apparently these documents are related to each other and are important to have all together.
So what you see here at the bottom
is this feedback box we created. Because we find it important to get the opinion of end users. So if they have an opinion about the content, they can type it in right here, and they post it. And the post is immediately published right underneath here. And I will show you in a minute another example where that's really the case. And this is transparently, it is open to anyone to see. Because you can imagine that people sometimes come up with similar comments. So if you see that somebody already has reacted, you don't have to react anymore. Or if somebody has reacted and you have an opinion about it, you can react on it again. So you get the community already discussing the content right here near to the content. And that's interesting for the one who's responsible for this content and can see, all right, on a weekly basis, a community leader can get a report, or will get a report now in his mailbox stating, all right, last week on the content where you are responsible for, this is what was said. And then they can act upon it. And for instance, I know that if I type, microbiology, you get a result. And as you can see here, there's a PDF published here. And what you can see that you can click this thing and know and open the document set where this PDF is published on.
So if I open this one, let me zoom out again. This happens to be a summary of a workshop, content from a workshop being shared with others that didn't attend the workshop. And then you see at the bottom that somebody is here sharing his opinion and stating, all right, reading the files gives you a great overview of the workshop. So this is a positive feedback, but we are also open to more critical feedback, of course. So this is working well, and we find it important to hear the voice of the people. And again, like I said, in the future, you could have these discussions nicely in Yammer or those type of solutions. Here we solved it like this in 2010.
One more thing on the content, by the way.
on this content, on this page. You see here, contact the experts.
So if you found this document here, this document set, and you would like to know who was actually responsible at this moment of publication,
you can click on this link here. You see that there are names here. And if you would like to start a discussion with them,
and here you see the integration with Link,
you can directly ask him or her a question.
So this is bringing, let's say, the experts that are responsible for specific content close to the end users.
All right. Then we have, for every function, this should be opening. Every function has their own news page, like I said, with knowledge results and news articles regarding knowledge of your function. So here you can see things on supply chain safety, early warnings that we have sent out, which we are having important knowledge of an incident that happened in a brewery. So that knowledge we like to share very soon with other operational companies. But we also are open to the stories of other people. So there's this mailbox here that they can send their story or just a topic, and then we follow up on that to make sure that stories from the opcos are also heard. And again, this is a way that we've dealt with this, not having, for instance, a Yammer solution in place, but it's working. And we get input from the opcos, whether it's a news article, but also in terms of the good practices, like I showed before. All right, so any of the other functions have was now demonstrating supply chain, but if you would go, for instance, to, let's take finance, they have a similar homepage, they have similar news functionality in place, and another sponsor here, our own CTO is making a statement about knowledge management there for finance. Again, you find this upload button. Their own news, they have their own speed links that they would like to promote content, and their own taxonomy. So consistently over any of the functions, the setup is everywhere the same and therefore very recognizable for the end users. Okay, this is in short what the application is about. And what I've showed here and the content that is, like I said before, is published here is the key knowledge in Heineken. And if we go back to the presentation, I'd like to go to shortly to another subject which is related to it. So remember this triangle that I showed before, and we've now looked to the top part. We've looked to the want-to-share solution, which we now have available in all our breweries and the operational companies. And at the bottom part, we have started last year. So on head office level, we now have so-called department sites. Department sites where projects take place, day-to-day collaboration, etc. And I will shortly demonstrate how the two things are related to each other. And in this year, we are going to roll out these department sites into our operational companies worldwide and in the coming year. So just an example of two of our most active functions, for instance, global finance or supply chain. What type of sites do we have there and what type of things are happening there? We have, for instance, sites on performance and performance reporting worldwide. So collecting data from all over the world into one site and making sure that it's available for those who need to know about it. Or safety, very important in a company like ours with logistics and production sites. But also collaboration outside. So we are not only working together with people within Heineken, but also with suppliers. So people that can access our sites from outside as well. Projects we are running on there.
financial reporting, management meetings, event management, and a number of community sites where people are collaborating on specific topics. Now, how do these sites relate to one to share that I've just been showing to you? So on a detailed level now, I will show you the ribbon, and those that are familiar with SharePoint, and the majority here for sure is, the ribbon within our site. And you most probably recognize here our One to Share logo, which we have embedded in there. So there's a small button in there telling you, all right, you are here in this isolated team site, you've been working on your project, and there happens to be a very good practice there that you would like to share now with a global audience. So what you do, oops, this goes very fast. You select the document that you would like to share. You push that button, want to share. And then the document is actually taken or copied into the regular workflow within want to share. So the one who's uploading is just asked a few questions. Where do you want to, the document to go? Is it for HR? Is it for finance? Is it for supply chain? And for that, you make use of the regular managed metadata, so the taxonomy, knowing that, all right, if you know this is for brewing, and within brewing this is for raw material handling, you can already post it there. And the moment that you do that, the one who is responsible for that particular part, content, is informed. So if, for instance, I was responsible for raw material handling, and new content is uploaded from wherever in the world, whether it's within want to share or from a department site, I am informed. And the moment that I see that, I can decide, all right, this is very good stuff, I immediately approve it, or I'm going to involve more expertise to even improve this content any further. At all times, you always get a big thank you for sharing, because we like to keep the people motivated, of course, to keep sharing their content. So this is how we bridge the two environments, so the day-to-day collaboration and this want-to-share portal and its content. So, do we have any happy customers that are really happy that we did all this for them? Yes, we did. So, like I said, we're doing a survey this year, but we did a short survey last year for an article that we were publishing because we were celebrating the 1 year release of Want to Share. So we asked some customers, are you happy? And yes, they are. For instance, he was very happy with the search functionality. Or Maria from Romania was happy because she thinks it's the chicken with the golden eggs. And I think she's right, because this is valuable knowledge of the company that we need to take care of. Or from finance, in an entirely different environment for different reasons. They find this portal very important. For instance, for compliance, financial people need to comply to financial standards, so they need to communicate that and make sure that that everybody who needs to work according to the standards have it in place, so he was happy. Or just somebody stating it's an absolutely one great tool to share and learn. And I think the key for me is in the last word, learn, that we within this company are now able to find people, to find content, and learn from each other across geographical or functional boundaries. All right. Brings me to the end of my presentation. And so this is what I wanted to share with you. And I'm very happy to have some questions if you would like to. If there are any. This is also a good idea, yes. We have a question.
Yes. Is it on? Yes, it's on.
Yes.
You told in the beginning that you rolled this out in 2 week time.
Sorry?
You rolled this out in 2 weeks time.
Yes.
So how did you manage that with the training and for the end users?
Okay. I think it's a very important question because you cannot just expect that everybody understands it immediately, but on the other hand, you should have, and I think we have built the application in such a way that it should be intuitive enough. So there's these wiki pages that are there now, just for the regular standard activities in there, but we didn't have any training session in place, besides for those that are involved in the workflows and content management. That's a particular part, but for end users, there's no training in place. We rolled it out and people started using, and that was just it. And that's, for me, the best feedback, because that meant that it was intuitive enough. So that, and that made it possible to do it in such a short time. Other question?
I want to know how you solved managing data being submitted to your people in the field from a safety perspective in real time.
Managing the?
So you have, I saw on your portal, you have a safety feature where you essentially notify people of events taking place. How do you communicate that to people in the field, and how do the people in the field communicate back to you?
Okay. There are several ways. First of all, we put quite some responsibility on the shoulders of the end users themselves. For instance, to keep themselves informed by setting alerts on the content that they find interesting. There's one thing that I would like to show them to you right here. Let me go back to this. And that, so on one hand, putting the responsibility in setting an alert, but on the other hand, if I go, let's say, to supply chain, we have another functionality here, which I said earlier in my presentation, targeted communication to end users. So I have, for instance, here an overview of the expert groups. And I will not bother you with all the details, but what you see right here, if in brewing, you see this small envelope here. So everybody who has put brewing or parts of brewing in their profile, we can immediately communicate to them. So if there's a particular story to tell, a particular good practice that we really would like to get out there to this audience, this is what we use. We push that button, it makes a mailing list from all those people, and we immediately can inform them.
So when you say profile, are you talking about the AD profile?
Yes, if I talk about profiling, yeah. It's right here in the corner, and I should have made it part of the presentation, but I will do it now. So if this is my profile, which is what you will recognize as being out of the box quite a lot. So this is me, this is my department. I can edit my profile, and I can put in a number of this out-of-the-box functionalities. So the things that I've done before, it's open text, I can type there, my picture, some other things. But at the bottom, this is what we added, which is a field of expertise. And this is what I said, this is this one-on-one relationship with the taxonomy. So from here, from the term set, I can choose from the taxonomy a particular part and say, all right, I'm into performance or product governance. I add that to my profile. And from that moment on, if on, in this case, product governance, new content is being uploaded, I run the risk, or no, that's not a risk. I can be involved in reviewing this content. And by doing so, this company is utilizing my knowledge better than they did ever before. So we are promoting a lot the people to make themselves known as experts and get involved in the process. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you.
Okay.
I guess my question is around how much is out of the box and how much was custom code that you built on it. This is very exciting to meet a need. We have a great SharePoint site in 2010, but it's just the teams and the public sites for the teams, mm-hmm. and they've been asking for best practices, knowledge management kind of repository.
Yes.
So I think this is very exciting. So, you know, how much of it is coded? Those reports that you showed, the HIT reports, are they something that you can just get out of the box, or did you have to write code for that?
Okay. I must say, I've never did a real calculation on how much was out of the box and not. I have somebody sitting here who can make a guesstimate. Mm-hmm. What you would say. By the way, this is Donald Hessing.
And Donald.
He might be able to answer that question for you.
Sure. So, roughly speaking, I think that 60 to 70% is out of the box, and you can do straight from out of the box. the main customizations that you will see is related to the workflow things and the taxonomy filters. So things that we did in, from a customization point of view, is basically create a custom search result web part so that you can check and select the taxonomy fields and then have the results based on the taxonomy. You can do that somehow out of the box, but we did it in a way that you also have the childs of the taxonomy. So if you have global supply chain and one of the childs of the taxonomy,
we have that kind of filtered search yet.
Yeah. So I think those are the main customizations, and then you have the reporting. So I don't think Tony showed you that, but we can actually track down every user hit that's been done on the system. So if you are in Egypt, we can actually track down that certain knowledge management documents are more popular in certain regions. Mm-hmm. And that brings it to an interesting point to see, okay, based on the actual hits and the fact that a certain document is more popular or better rated, and also can correlate to how these breweries actually perform. Right, so those are the next steps that we are trying to do, but already collected. So I'm not sure if you've been to any of the BI sessions, but we actually track down the data from a user level, where the user actually sits in the organization, and which documents they actually hit. Right, so that's the next step.
We can do that, but we don't analyze it yet.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Donald, for answering this question, and thank you for asking the question.
No.
Yeah, that's
I think you are each of the you said each of those functions is a separate site collection. Mm-hmm. So I mean, is that how you set that up, or is it just one site collection for the knowledge base, but then you use the managed metadata to set it up to separate it out?
No, each function has a separate site collection. Okay.
When you were creating the knowledge base and the one to share, did you start with some content, or did you run everything through the workflow and a submission process to get it in there?
Okay, very interesting question. The different functions at the moment of starting this whole process had different levels of maturity in knowledge management in general. So supply chain was far ahead, finance had something in place, so there were just different starting levels. From supply chain, I represent supply chain, for instance. There was a lot of content in a previous system. So we were migrating that to want to share. The others had some content which they were migrating, but at the same time they were creating new content. So it was a little the blend of the two. For us it was a big migration content-wise, moving all documents manually. We did that because we wanted to put the right metadata on there according to the taxonomy. So it was different starting points. But the good news was, is now, that any of the functions are on the same road. So there's no difference, because we used to have different type of systems. So the level of maturity doesn't matter, but you're on the same direction. Mm-hmm. That is, I think, the most important message here.
Okay, and the second question related to that is all of the one to share content in one document library?
No, it's not.
No.
Okay.
No,
then,
it's just navigation that makes it look like it's
within,
all in one place.
Within any function, so every function, like I said, is a separate site collection, and within that site collections there are different libraries. For instance, like I said, there we are publishing on two levels, the public level, accessible by anyone in Heineken, and the restricted level for those that we want to get to that particular content. So there are two, let's say, libraries, major libraries, next to the pages libraries, but these are libraries, document set libraries, per function.
Okay.
Question over there.
How much metadata do users have to enter when submitting a document? Who does the tagging?
How many metadata fields?
Yeah.
I don't know by head. I think it's six or seven. It's taking them by, sorry?
Done by the people who upload the
document? Partially. So if you upload a document, and you know, all right, this is for finance, and within finance, this is for treasury, you can already select that. If you happen not to know that, you just can post it, and then it enters the system, and then it comes to the first person in the workflow who can see, all right, this was uploaded to finance, but this actually should be supply chain, and he can redirect it to a different function. And in the next steps of the workflows, the rest of the metadata is added there. So we didn't want end users to be bothered with putting too much metadata already in the very beginning. So in the rest of the process, for instance, whether this is a standard or procedure or the other metadata fields, are added during the rest of the process of publication.
Is that by the experts, by the people who are in the community?
Yes. Yes. They do that. Correct. Question? Maybe Donald can answer this one. Thank you for being here.
Okay, so the way we collect all the logs is basically by implementing a custom handler that sits between SharePoint and the user action, and then basically logs the hits into the SQL Server database. There's a different way of doing it. You can also use the extensibility of SharePoint, actually, to add that logging, but we wanted to collect the additional metadata as well. So we not only collect, let's say, the user, but also where the user sits based on IP address and so on.
Just a quick follow-up. How fast does that database grow? I mean, it's really growing very rapidly.
If I'm correct, it's like 200,000 users last year, so yeah. It's like 200,000 hits. Yes, so the hit sits, so the component basically sits between SharePoint and IIS, the Internet Information Server. So, and then it defines that it is a hit. So, and that hit is a custom ASP.NET code, basically, that injects the hit into a SQL Server table. Yeah, if you want to have more details, come back here. We'll share you more details.
All right.
I have one more question.
Oh, last question then.
You said you got site collections managing most of this data from your different departments, is that correct? So you have finance, does it have its own site collection? Does knowledge management have its own site collection?
Correct.
How did you do cross-federated searches for people so that you give them one single search?
Okay, if I'm getting it right, we have a search within any of those site collection, and the search results of these are added up to one search page where so that it comes all together on one search page. Okay. So that's how it's been built, in short.
Did you all build any special search scopes?
Yes, we did.
I can ask one final question.
Final.
Yes, thank you. This is a 2010 on-prem. Do you
yes.
have any plans to move to the cloud?
Yes, but the actual planning is not yet in place, but the planning is somewhat decided for us, huh, by the drumbeat that's being communicated also in this week here. So that will happen in between now and a year, I guess, that we will move. Yeah. Okay, I would like to thank you for being here, and I would like to thank Donald, and by the way, the developers of this nice site are sitting on the second row here. And thank you for that, and any other questions, I will be in the Ask the Expert session this afternoon as well. Thank you.
Thank you.